Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B, and I'm here with a special guest, first time, recently met. It's Jared Alexander. He is an entertainment writer, a journalist. You've written for The Griot, also Sci-Fi Wire, which I'm interested in because that's like sci-fi and horror?
Yeah, sort of. Okay. Yeah, I was like in the beginning of my, can talk about it though.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, in general, all I do is Maxine is going to be my entire personality this month. You know that I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
It's gonna be so
good. Do you care? Yeah. Some people are like, a lot of people don't know about the film, like that trilogy.
No, because it's already the third one. Yeah. I mean, they churned them out fast, but
yeah,
really good.
Well, welcome.
Yes.
So I know that your forte is like, you write, so I think we first came across each other on Twitter, right? Because we talk about like Bravo, specifically like Real Housewives in New Jersey. I think we're usually like aligned in our takes. But I definitely want to get into like New Jersey. We're going to talk about all that. So welcome.
Yeah. Yes. Talk. No, it is so nice. We definitely, I think, started following each other there and are aligned on a lot. And I feel like Real Housewives of New Jersey Twitter is like the wild, wild west.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, especially with that franchise, like if you do align with someone, it's like, really, that is, because it is real dark out there. I have to.
It is like, I'm trying to think of like another show that is that intense. Kind of like I feel like season 5, the like Monique Candace season, was that intense online. That was a lot.
I agree. Yeah. You know what I've noticed though? I feel like in general, and we'll talk about the state of all of these shows too, because I think there's like a larger story that's kind of here. And I think I'll save that for probably the bonus. But the state of it, I just feel like the longer that these shows stay on the air, like they can start out as great. I mean the fandom, like everyone can like really enjoy all the people. And as the shows kind of like enter like, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, I think that the fandom is what starts ruining it for me for a lot of these shows. New Jersey's one of those. I think like Salt Lake City hasn't quite gotten there, but I think after the Monica stuff, I saw that because the Monica fans are like kind of a very Jersey-esque kind of energy when they talk about it. And I want to get into that too. But I want to get some other stuff out of the way first, because today's a very big day for me as a person that like loves fucking mess. I was blessed the second I woke up. I went on Twitter immediately. Like, it was like, I think I woke up and it was like within the first 15 minutes, it was like Justin Timberlake arrested, DUI, White Boy Summer might be canceled before it's even started. I don't fucking know.
It's been a minute since we like woke up to a headline like that. Oh my God. And then all day has been like a trickle effect of like the pictures and him like leaving. Cause like I think when the news dropped, he was still arrested, right? Like crazy?
Yeah. I think he got out around like 3-ish or so. Yeah. But you know, this is the first time in a while as a kind of a patron saint of the messy arts, or like a purveyor of mess. Like, I've never seen such a clean, like rollout. It's like an album launch. It's like it was like, here's the news about him getting arrested overnight. Here's the story, and then the mugshot, and then like you get the mugshot by 5 p.m. So I'm still at work. And I'm like, yeah. Texting people. We're talking about it at work.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like,
why can't all dramas be this way? Because like, I'm still waiting on Shannon Bedore's.
No, listen. And we have that one was fucked up. I know. I know. Because that TMZ Grand Theft Auto footage that we got was so crazy.
Oh my God.
No, but with the Justin thing, like, I would love, I don't know if you're like an astrology person, I'd love to look at his chart for this year. It seems like there's just like a lot happening, maybe karmically. There's just like a lot of points coming together. But then also, in all seriousness, you just mentioned Shannon too. Like, I think with any celebrity, I don't understand the DWI, the DUI thing anymore. I think if you have a certain access to
driven around
money,
sober.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like with the little money I make, I take my Ubers. Great. We live in New York City. So I guess it's different. Like, we don't drive every day, but still I'm kind of like, there should just be no excuse. Like, leave your car. You can get it in the morning. Like, you have access to so many people who could drive you or the money that will get you anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally cannot comprehend that ever.
Also, like, getting arrested in Sag Harbor, because, like, I used to vacation in Sag Harbor and, like, people there, I mean, stories about people paying off the cops, like, you really have, he was cutting up bad if he got arrested. You know how bad he had to been cutting up? And then I saw that mugshot and I was like, what's that meme of, like, Nene when she first hears Kim sing? She's like,
oh my God.
I was like, he was so in the fucking, like, you could tell, it was like the most high quality mugshot I think I've ever seen. Like, you could tell that they were like, bring out the high quality camera, get the Nikon. We want to get in the eyes. I mean, I saw it and I was like, you could back up a little bit. You could back up a little bit. Fuck. He looked like he was holding in a cough after hitting the bong. His eyes were, he was fucked up. He was fucked up. He was like Kim Richards in the back seat with Lisa Rinna when they're on the way to Eileen's. He looked
whack-a-doodle time.
Yeah, it's whack-a-doodle time. Talking about, I have one martini, one quart-sized martini.
No.
Yeah.
For real. It's, and also, as like a, I'm just, my whole life, I've been a JC Chazet fan from jump. That was from the beginning.
Have you ever met him?
No, I would love to. Please, you have a story?
Long story. I mean, I don't really have like a story, so just wrote like short. Cody Rigsby and I, we wrote a show together for Peloton, one of his classes, which is like fashion, like a talk show. And there were different celebrity guests every episode. And JC Chazet was one of them. And he was just like, honestly, one of the best people to work with. He was so easy. Everything that I wrote, everything, he was just like, sure, he's game for anything. And he just like added his own flair. Truly like one of the nicest, most gracious, and like, and I expected nothing less. I think JC Chazet is just like underrated, and
oh my God.
I have nothing but great stories, but nothing
so
specific.
Just made my day.
Yeah. I mean, you've got lots of housewives really like off the bat. Is there anything else I have on? I'm trying to think if there's anything else I have on Justin before we get off of him.
He did say, weren't there again? It's hard to differentiate between like the hard stories from the outlets and like the Instagram stories that I've been seeing. But didn't he say something about his world tour? Am I making that up? Or
I guess the arresting officer was too young to even recognize who the fuck he was. And he was like, this is going to mess up the tour. And the officer goes, what tour? I'm so sorry. I would have ended it at work. Like, after that, I would have been like, all right, just take me to jail.
I know, seriously.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, we're having such a weird time with these like legacy celebrities. Obviously, these are different scenarios, but hear me out. I'm going to try and draw the thread. But like these like mainstays, because like I think there's a similar thing happening with J-Lo. Not that she had similar behavior, but like there's just like a spoiled effect, like spoiled milk almost with these celebrities. Yeah. Like it's not working anymore.
She's a little different. I mean, J-Lo is quite literally what happens when an industry plant doesn't get watered. Like this, like she was told her entire life that she's just like the best dancer and the best da, 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 and she might have been good at some things, but I think that like ultimately who is like I would really have a hard time in a lineup like picking who her fan base is, like who is, because it's not generally, it's not black women, they don't really know her, and gays don't really know gays that I know.
Yeah,
who gays that I don't.
I feel like she just has always been around, like a song.
Yeah,
like,
but
like,
I don't know anybody that's like really rides for her like that.
Right. But it's so weird. Like 4 years ago, I feel like she had such good faith with Hustlers. Like everyone was like, we kind of wanted her. Like the cultural conversation.
I wonder if like a lot of that was like, I think for a lot of people, I thought the writing was really good in Hustlers. It was really funny. It's not hard to make sometimes if everyone around you is I'm not shitting on her like that, but it's just like, I think that a lot of the fervor was because they were so surprised that the movie was so good.
Yeah.
Even though J-Lo was in it. Like, it wasn't like J-Lo is the best actress ever.
No, it was like the first J-Lo movie that didn't feel like a J-Lo movie. Like, exactly. It felt like a movie with J-Lo in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Hustlers. I saw it like twice. So,
oh my God. No, us talking about it in my mind, I'm like, maybe I'll watch Hustlers again tonight because it's been a long time.
That movie fucking eats. It's so good.
Yes.
Who is maybe like, do you have any housewives that you met that you've been like, this is the worst housewife I've met?
This is so boring, but kind of not really, but you probably know. I feel like you've maybe been in, I've been in very intimate settings with some, but mostly it's been professional settings.
Yeah, and yeah.
When it's an interview or a carpet, like everyone's on their game.
Yeah.
I've had interesting experiences in terms of like this is an example, and I do love her, but like there was like a moment at BravoCon where like their housewives are being shuffled left and right. You know what I mean? So like I feel like I've had some housewives where like the interviews I felt like they could have gone better, but like they were being pulled from like any which direction. Like Caroline Stanberry is a good example. I'm obsessed with her. She's iconic, but like the interview was cut so short because like they had to run to their panel. So like she was like, do I have to do this one? And like the rep was like, nope, yep, you definitely got to do it. So like she could only give me like whatever energy she had. So like moments like that are bummers, but it's definitely interesting. I mean, you know how this whole ecosystem works. It's interesting being around them because it is like, even with no cameras, you're still like kind of in the show. Like their minds are always in the show.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they truly are like they are on television. There's very few times where I meet someone that's not like they are on camera. You know what I mean?
You know, they're as advertised for sure. Yeah. And the outlet that I just was at for 4 years, I wrote at the Griot. So professionally, I was covering all the Black shows, and obviously, lucky for me, in those 4 years, like every city got a Black housewife. So I suddenly was covering almost every show except Jersey, but I've gotten to know them the most personally. So it's been kind of interesting professionally navigating some things. And then also personally, just being able to
meet
the girls. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, real quick, before we get off Justin Timberlake too far. Is the one man that you prey on his downfall the most?
I would say, I mean, taking out like obvious like political figures, I would say, yeah, he is just really soured for me. And it's a bummer.
Who is?
Not that I was ever like the Timberlake.
Oh, Timberlake. But there is there anybody else that you?
Yeah.
Oh, just that's the one you would. Okay. I'm Clarence Thomas. So, I mean.
Oh, I mean, no, period. Okay. Day. That's what I didn't know if you were going to go political, but that's what
I meant.
I
do that.
Like, especially this past week.
Yeah, I mean, you got to sometimes.
The fuckery.
Yeah,
insane.
You can get him up out of here. And yeah, no, seriously, they're interchangeable at this point. So
talk about expired and like spoiled. It's time. We gotta move on. Yeah.
Switching gears. Well, I guess not switching gears too much because we were talking about toxic men. Summer House. So Summer House reunion. Just, here we go. The Summer House reunion aired. Great reunion, actually. Two parts. But like we were talking a bit about just like the way that the second part went. I did not expect it to be going like that. I think the fandom has been pretty back and forth about like Carl versus Lindsay. And let's be real. I want to preface by saying that like, by no means am I saying that Lindsay can be a fucking demon. Like if anybody watches this show, especially been watching it from the inception, it's clear as day, but you like, that's what makes her a great reality star sometimes. You know what I mean? And the fact that she can come back every season, no matter everybody coming against her. I mean, it's the same thing as like, what is Teresa, that one reunion where she had the green dress on and everybody hated her guts.
Mm-hmm. And she's still free, the pageant dress. Yeah.
You need reality stars like that. And I think that with Summer House, sometimes that fandom particularly, I don't think really truly gets that you need to like appreciate your villains and you know what I mean? But not also like typecast them as always a villain, because there's parts where I think that Lindsay can be a good friend or a good and she can be right in many instances, but Carl's a dickhead. So after all this, his whole like demeanor during the reunion, just like the I don't believe that he didn't kind of coax production into setting that whole thing up. I think that he was making mental note of how he thought that this would go based on watching Scandoval while they were filming this. So in his head, he's probably like, oh, fuck, this is how this is going to come out for me. Because wait, when did Scandival happen? It happened in like the winter of 2023, right? It was like,
it happened it like in March? Like March. And if you think about it, they were rapping in what, August. So it was still very much the conversation of, because Vanderpump Rules aired up until like June.
Yeah. And so like at the beginning of the summer, when he's starting to think about all these things, he's probably like in his head.
Correct.
You can't deny. And I think that would have been interesting to bring up on the show, because one thing that I have a lot of issues with this fan base in particular, the Summer House fan base. I don't think that they are as, and this sounds whatever, it's gonna, I'm gonna say it, but it's just like they are like less sophisticated than like a housewife, because they are a little bit younger. They don't really, I think that I find that the Summer House person doesn't watch a lot of reality TV. They like The Bachelor, or they like kind of like reality competition shows, but they're not like well versed in, like, we can like as housewives fans like watch how someone, like how editing can play in. And I mean, from the Hills days, we just have like a different kind of, do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. There's like sensibility that we can pick up on.
And then I thought that when there was the conversation about West and Sierra, I'm kind of jumping around here, right? But I think with the Sierra and West stuff, everybody's like, oh my God, Team Sierra, we hate West. It's like, oh, really? Because y'all like were fucking obsessed with Wes. I knew exactly what was going to happen, the same way that did Ariana on Vanderpump Rules. And I don't even watch that fucking show, but I know that they like hype her up, and then just to like the one littlest thing that happens, they will try to tear her down. That's what they do with Wes. They put, especially like a white straight man on a show like this, of course they're going to put him on a pedestal. And then the one thing that happens wrong, they're like, he's the devil. White straight men are sometimes just going to white straight men. Like, he just wants to get laid. That's what happened. And everyone's mad about it. And sometimes young men like that just want to hook up and have fun on Summer House. It's a reality show. They're in the Hamptons. They're drinking 90% of the time. I just think that he probably didn't want to be with her. You know, there could be other stuff at play. And like, obviously I'm not totally team West here, but I'm saying all that to say that I think that this fandom in particular, I feel like only paints with broad strokes. Like, it's very black and white with them. 1,000%. You're either team this person or team this person. And I'm, to be quite honest, like, hot take, I actually have never really liked Sierra on the show. I always found her to be like kind of off-putting a little bit to new people. She doesn't really like seem to make friends that well. She kind of stays in bed all day with Paige. She really hates Lindsay.
I know.
I want to get your take on all of that, and just tell me what you've been thinking about it, because it's a lot to think about. I feel like it could have been a three-part reunion, honestly.
It's funny. I co-sign on everything that you just said.
Yeah,
literally.
Thank you.
And I think that I was listening to Radio Andy yesterday morning, and he literally said, because some caller called in, and he was talking about like the fan reactions to how he handled with Lindsay in the second half. And he was like, I really do feel like, I'm shocked it wasn't a three-part reunion, because he was saying that he feels like there were moments where he did question Carl about how much he was communicating with Lindsay and all those things. But I think first off too, like, this is a banner season for the show. I feel like season 5 of Summer House, the COVID season, was like a big one for them too, that like really cemented them as like a legitimate Bravo show.
Yeah.
And then this one just kind of took it to another level. And I have to just give kudos to like casting and them in general. And
I think, before I forget, like, I feel like the thing that I say the same thing, I agree. I feel like the thing that kind of took it to the next level this season was, casting wise, they really leaned into the male energy. I feel like in past seasons, they've really kind of tried to expand the women, and there ended up being like 6 women and 3 men or 4 men. It was wildly kind of like, I feel like they kind of really focused on getting good, not really good men, because I mean, it's still Jesse and Wes at the end of the day.
Right.
I would, but I mean, you know, but that's another story. That's a whole other podcast, but they found like interesting, compelling men, at least to watch, that aren't afraid to be fuck ups, or maybe don't realize that they're being fuck ups on camera.
Yes.
But I feel like they leaned into the male energy, and I feel like it finally feels like more evened out.
Well, there was an authenticity to both of them. I feel like the last 3 or 4 since Luke, outside of him, every guy was really pretty, really
Alex,
boring TV.
That one guy, the personal trainer who ate like a pound of ground beef every morning, or what was it, turkey?
Yeah, which like you could bring hot guys in because the whole point is that they're all hooking up together, but it just didn't work. And I also think that
Chessie's great.
Once fantastic.
Yeah.
Once Hannah Berner left, which she say what you want about her, she took up a lot of oxygen in that cast and it gave us a really good season. Like
yeah.
It was a lot. They really packed it with girls, like you said. And unfortunately, every season was like Lindsay versus the girls. It was either Lindsay and Danielle versus the girls or Lindsay. Yeah. And then I feel like by getting rid of Maya, who I think she's a nice girl, but I never really loved her on the show.
Yeah, no, I never really kind of got why she got, what's it, three seasons she was on?
She was on two.
Okay, but it felt just like three. Didn't... That's terrible.
Correct.
That it felt longer than.
I know. And like... it was just good to break up that, the bedsore girls, as you coined, because I feel like there was too much, and it's interesting now to look, because I feel like last season, the chatter online about Paige and Amanda and Sierra was very different. It was a little like, okay, like they kind of just lay in bed all day. They like something's got to give, like whatever. And I feel like all of them got a respectful tap on the shoulder to be like, okay, this is not what we're doing anymore.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Honestly, and I say this with like, I go back and forth with like my opinions on how Paige navigates the show, but I've always said, I think how she has navigated being a Bravo celebrity is like A++. Like she has just really nailed it. And this was an MVP season for her. Like she put the Lindsay BS aside.
Yeah.
She performs really well. What was disappointing about the reunion though, was the backtracking of all of that, that I don't think, and I'm not saying they all had to be like, oh my God, Lindsay, we agree with you 100%. But it felt like they were like course correcting and really like babying Carl in this weird way without having seen.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
And they hadn't seen yet how the fans were reacting to the back half of the season, which was very like, Carl is, he may be feeling this way, but he's not saying any of this to Lindsay, to her face.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel that way about this cast. I feel like they kind of, I feel like they realize that we probably need to like play nice with Lindsay somewhat. So kind of have like a cohesive show. So it doesn't feel like two factions in the house.
Yeah.
Lindsay versus everybody. But I feel like, I don't genuinely think they just don't like Lindsay. But the great thing about Lindsay, who, by the way, is just like an all-star reality star. Like they don't make women like that anymore for reality TV. Like you could put her on a early 2000s VH1 show and she would somehow fit in. Like
I know people say this a lot.
She's cuckoo, she's DeLulu, and that's why we love her.
And she will show up. Like I'm still not discounting. And I know we'll see what happens, but like, out of anyone in the universe,
she doesn't do
who could join the new Roni. I do think Lindsay Hubbard, like we would want to see her for a while.
Yeah.
I think. And I think the network has,
she doesn't do grudges. She reboots. Her brain reboots like Roni, where it's like that show is not really a reality show so much as it's like a sitcom. The true nature of that show is like they'll fight and say things. And then the next episode, it's like, all right, anyways, we forgot what we were talking about, but that's like how you need to be to kind of keep the story going. And yeah, so
Lindsay built my thing with Lindsay, and I'll even give it, as frustrating as they are to me, I'll even give it to Kyle and Carl. Lindsay, Kyle, and Carl, the three of them built that show off their backs. There's no Summer House without them. They've shown us the most, all these things. And with Lindsay, I'm sorry, like, you don't want to see me activated. How many sandwiches have you made for me? Like, those are the moments.
Those are the only things, the actual, like, that you could make merchandise out of. Nobody else has come out with anything else. I mean, if anything, the bedsore girls, they would probably have to give me a check if they ever made.
If they did that.
Hello.
I remember when
the page is doing a whole series now from bed.
In her bed. I saw that.
So I'll see you. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, it's very. And again, I have tremendous. I really do like. Respect the hell out of Paige and how she's navigated this. I think she's like a whole new level of Bravo celebrity. All that to say though, in the second half, it was just frustrating that it felt like no one had Lindsay's back. And what really irked me and annoyed me was how everybody could pipe up for Carl, but Gabby couldn't get a word in without them being like, okay, Gabby, you don't have to be her cheerleader. And I'm like, what?
And you know what? Some episodes I go back and forth. I'm like, oh, I wish Gabby spoke up more. This probably should be her last season. But then like when she does stick up for Lindsay, I'm like, thank God someone's in the room. And I really like Gabby. Like, I feel like if anybody on that stage, if I hung out with them in real life, I'd probably want to hang out with Gabby. Seems like the most normal, well-adjusted.
I got to hang out with her a good amount at BravoCon. And we like got to ride back together.
She's probably great, right?
To the airport. The best. Like the best vibe. As advertised, really, really fun. And I feel like...
Gabby, come on this podcast. Let me get Gabby on here.
Seriously.
I love Gabby.
Y'all would have a blast. I do have questions about truly original and that show in general and how the contracting works. Because it does feel like they can take off whatever weekends they want. I get it. Like weddings come up. There's like big family things. I know Kyle's dad had a birth. Like all those things make sense. But it is really weird how it's come and go. And I'm sure maybe their pay just reflects that, right? It's like, okay, you're not going to be here. Then you're cut however many percentage off of your salary for the season or whatever. But
I wonder if for the story, it probably helps though. Because otherwise it's kind of... It's like you do want to have weekends where someone misses the drama and then has to be caught up.
Yes.
So that it changes the dynamics and shifts things. So it doesn't feel like the same thing every weekend. So I feel like in that sense, it's probably smart.
It does help. You're right. But I felt like it sucked for Gabby because I feel like she missed like a month. I feel like she missed like 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And it was nice to have her again. Yeah. But even in that finale, like with Amanda, my friend Sam Bush said this, Bravo historian. I feel like it's like,
oh, yeah.
We want more for her than what she wants for herself.
I know. Let us help you.
Because
help you, Gabby.
It's a lot because I feel like with Amanda, she is constantly, even how she was talking, I was kind of like, but we watch all season your husband talk crazy about you and to you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to take relationship advice and how Carl and Lindsay were talking crazy to each other, but like, it's hard. It's like, we got to look in the mirror here.
Yeah.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Like,
I totally agree. Some missed opportunities on that reunion. We didn't even get to bring up the Carl leaving the suitcase or the like Lindsay's luggage. But then y'all went and just attacked Lindsay instead when they should have brought up the suitcase stuff, because that was the most bitch-assness move I have ever seen. We would have been
wild.
We would have been, engagement would have been cut off after that, because
that's what's confusing. And I have a question for you too, because like,
yeah.
I don't get how it's both things at the same time. Like, they're like, Carl did not go into that conversation wanting to end it. He did not tell the producers. Even production didn't know that it was going to end. Lindsay, how are you blindsided? It's like, what? It's like, so if they didn't know, then of course you would be blindsided. Like, they want her. And I think it's just the definition of the word. Like, I think for her, she's a face value person. So if you are telling me, no, babe, I know it's been hard, we're still going to do this. No, I'm not saying that I don't want to marry you. She takes your word.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying?
So
she paints with broad strokes. She's a very extreme person in her life. Right. And he's a very sensitive seeming person because he's like, he expects everyone to read his emotions. He mopes around. She's very loud and like expressive. And then he's kind of like, well, why didn't she know that I, you know what I mean? It's just like, they're very, they should have never.
And I do have a little bit of empathy for Carl because like parts of myself that I try to work on, I get that way a lot, especially in relationships and in things. Like I can feel very indecisive, very confused, not so much passive, but like, I understand when you're like, I don't know how to communicate this. Something doesn't feel right. All those things.
Yeah.
I just think the stakes are so different when you've been best friends with this girl for almost 10 years.
And y'all are like work together and TV.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny. I was rewatching some of season 5 at my friend's. She had it on. And I forgot that, like, there have just been so many moments outside of when they dated before with the two of them. Like, when Carl found out his brother passed, the first person he talked to, he, like, ran to Lindsay and they hugged. So, like, they have a story. It's really sad because I do think that they both are just two people who have cared about each other for years.
Yeah.
And I just think the way Lindsay does strike me as a person, as intense as she is, if you are upfront with her, she will be mad in the moment, but then give it 6 months. Maybe they could have still been friends.
Yeah.
If he was like, this is not working, I have to be honest with you. Instead, it was like, again, it was like going through the him showing up to the bridal shower.
It's like, also like very difficult too, because like you have pretty much everyone on that stage kind of thinks the worst of you. And then the one person is supposed to, so it's like kind of, it's a lot.
Name me another reality. I mean, obviously we have our Teresas and our Titans, but outside of that, name me someone else on Bravo right now who could have sat there like Lindsay did and still defend herself from a whole side and the girls next to her.
And not like, sweat.
And not sweat and look amazing also with her whole abs showing out.
Then
also her not even leaving that pissed at the girls. Like that is crazy.
And she could still like sign up for another season. Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore. I don't know. And if you can't recognize that, then it's probably not a show for you, you know?
Exactly.
You know who's not built up, who's not built for this though? Danielle. She gotta go. You're out of here, Danielle.
You're out of it.
You're out of here.
Well, can we be honest? I think the wheels started to fall off last season.
Yeah.
Because although Danielle, I hate this narrative that's like, well, Danielle was right. It's like, for me, the way she went about it was still so whack
that
matter.
Yes. Like, No, it canceled everything out. And I think that she's kind of served her purpose. Like if she's not going to be a great friend for Lindsay, and Gabby kind of serves that purpose now.
Correct.
And Gabby's so much more likable, especially after her little tiff with Danielle. Like, oh, I'm team Gabby 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fuck that.
1,000%. I feel like Danielle.
So we got to get somebody else on there. We got it. We can get another girl.
I used to really find her to be a good voice of reason. Like when the whole Sierra fight went down, I really was like on Danielle's side. Like I just felt like,
because she didn't talk that much too. The thing is that sometimes when you learn about people, it's like one of those things. What's the saying? It's like a crush is just an it's just a lack of knowledge. A crush is just a lack of knowledge. And then you start to learn, you're like, oh, never mind. I changed my mind.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Danielle a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame. Like, even the, again, I have to give it to Paige, that whole like CEO of what, like that was like a stellar moment because that's, it's just what we were thinking. And like Paige is quite the confessional assassin. She does not do a lot of, she throughout the season films pretty, it's almost like Phaedra was a lot like that a little bit too.
Yeah,
like, professionals were cutting, but then Paige will show up at the reunion and her head will spin around five times and she'll like rip you apart.
Yeah.
But then during the season, she kind of waits it out and then she uses her confessionals. And I think Danielle had a point. I just think she's kind of corny. But I think she had a point. She's like, you use your confessionals. But I don't know.
You know, you're right. I want to switch gears and talk a bit about Real Housewives of New Jersey. I thought that this was like new stuff, but then I just realized it's like I saw some page six article, and it was from 2022 actually, where Dina Manzo apparently confirmed that Dolores was one of the people that wrote a letter to a judge vouching for Tommy Manzo, Dina's ex-husband, who has now been, I guess, indicted, right? Yeah. Or convicted.
Yeah, convicted.
He's looking up to like 40 years in prison. I don't know. Dolores,
it's a lot because
what do you think about in general right now? What's going on? Well, I mean, obviously, Real Housewives in New Jersey, they're not having a reunion.
I think first off,
I don't even do a reunion, by the way. Don't give us one of those like check-ins with everybody separately. Remember, do you ever watch Love and Hip Hop?
Probably not. I've dabbled.
Okay, you dabbled, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta 1 year, because there was 1 year where Jocelyn Hernandez came onto that stage like a fucking crazy woman, just literally came out there and just started attacking 9 different people, was fighting people. Like the stage got tore up. They cut it to cancel the reunion. But then the next year when they did a reunion with this entire cast, they had to do sit downs with the host
one-on-one.
And one-on-one with all these different people. And if they have to do that for New Jersey, then just throw the whole show away.
I think first, with all of that, like, I think that the reunion news is a bummer because it just took the wind out of the sails of what I think is the best case scenario for what this season could have been. I might be the minority, I find every episode
entertaining. Probably been the most interesting part of it. But
especially
that's it.
This last episode was like,
but you know,
really good. It was great Housewives.
But then again, that last reunion though was hard to watch. I mean, it was just like, I don't even think I watched the last part. I just read like
Well, that was, if you remember that in the same 3 weeks, it was the Vanderpump Rules Scandoval reunion, the Summer House reunion of Danielle versus Lindsay, and the Jersey one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that was, and I don't want to get myself in
you were
trouble
fed.
Here,
what happened? What?
I'm a very, like, just an anti-Louis person. Creeps me out. Yeah, I feel like he is ruining her. And all that to say that, like,
he's
I think
ruining
that,
everything. But then a lot of people will say that it's Marge and Melissa. And I'm like, oh, God.
But at least those people are housewives and paid. Or at least are, you know, paid to do that. Yeah. If they are tanking the show. And I think that the season actually is pretty good. I don't think it's anything like how Atlanta's been for the past 3-4 years. I don't think it was
they're
like
worse.
Potomac.
It's still better than Atlanta's best in the past 4 years. I mean, it was unwatchable at some point. This is still, 1,000%. I can like watch.
And I think that it's interesting because, I mean, and Andy keeps saying like, apparently this finale is intense and that like everything that could be said is possibly said. But, and I know we talked about this a little bit. I think we kind of can't discount all of the mess that was happening leading up to this with that Melissa's old nose account. And there are like a lot of like hard receipts of Jen Aiden and a little bit of Teresa literally feeding stuff.
No, it's like it's not even been refuted at all. It's not been like they haven't been fighting back against it.
Yes.
I'm disappointed, but I'm not shocked. Now people say online because of all this stuff, it's like honestly, and it gets so like mired in the mud. Like I hate when bloggers get involved on these fucking shows.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a blogger. I talk a lot online. I'm not a blogger. I'm not calling people for tips. You can text me. You can text me something. I don't really, but like I don't like when those kind of elements get involved in the show. It's just like too mired in this mess, and I don't care about this faux fame version of Housewives that the shows kind of devolve into, because it's like I just need real women that have jobs and families that they actually care about. Not they don't care about what a Twitter account called Melissa's Old Nose. Be so serious. Like
my thing I used to say all the time was like, these women get paid to do this. You guys don't. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Now we know that they were getting gifts and paid to do this. So maybe I was the asshole who like didn't realize this.
Well,
I used to talk about how Jersey Twitter was so intense and why. And now we
maybe
know
that's why. Yeah.
There were a lot of accounts that had incentive to post and like,
yes,
we saw in this season how like the first episode, it's like Teresa and Jen are like, did you see what's all over social media about John Fuda? It's like, it's very transparent
it's
and
so
how they
clear
housewife.
And it's done so like brazenly because they never thought that they'd be found out.
Right.
It's always interesting too with, I mean, Teresa fans, listen, anybody that like has ever followed me knows that or from the, I've always loved Teresa, but it not so much in recent years. I still like love her. I think she's a great housewife and offers a lot, but I think she'd be better on her own spinoff now because I don't think that she plays well with new people. Clearly. She kind of takes it to a really toxic, dark place. Even though Melissa's not the best housewife ever to me, she has a real knack for getting along with young women that come on the show, befriending them. And even though she's not like drama and all of this stuff, she's just, sometimes it's okay for someone to just be a boutique owner with a cute family and a crazy husband. And you like to shop and get a little drunk and that's it. And let other people do their thing. With going back to the Jen Aiden and the Teresa of it all with these bloggers, every time online that's brought up, all of Teresa's fan base, they're kind of like MAGA. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, figuratively and sometimes literally, but they are so like the way that they argue that, well, Margaret is the major blog. I'm friends with Margaret. I'm telling y'all, I have been friends with her for years. Not once has she ever texted me, called me, asked me to post anything. If anything, she barely talks about the show when we're just hanging out. She's talking about her pool that she's that's always on, her house that's literally been under construction for 3 years. I mean, that's a whole thing. She does not talk about all this stuff. A little bit, but it's not like, I promise you, it's not like. It's just it's like trust. Margaret is not calling bloggers. She's not doing all of that stuff. It's always the people accusing people of doing that are actually doing it, which is.
And that's what, there's no nuance I saw for the first time after this past episode, I saw some Teresa people being like, I gotta give it to Margaret. That was Amazing Housewives or whatever. Yeah. And I feel like there's no nuance because I, like you said, Teresa made me fall in love with Housewives. I went to the Turning the Tables book signing. Like, I love Teresa.
Oh, you and Jackie.
You get you and Jackie, me and Jackie. Yes. We got to talk about that too. But I feel like I still always got to love her. I think she's one of the best to ever do it. You can't talk about Housewives without talking about Teresa Giudice.
Yeah.
However, I don't have to agree with everything she does.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to me that Jersey is so about like, who you stan, you have to agree with every single thing that they do. There are housewives who I adore, who I can sit and be like, wasn't their best season. Or I can sit and be like, this was a great season for them.
I loved Bethany for many years. A demon, actual demon. But like, but amazing television. Lindsay Hubbard. Sometimes the best part of liking these people is that they constantly fuck up and make mistakes and I disagree with them. But I love mess. What can I do? What can I say?
I wish Teresa fans could feel like that though. Could be like, I've met someone who loves Teresa that much, who was like, she's almost like, she's wrong a lot. And God, she can be annoying, but I just can't get enough of her. Like that is so honest.
Yeah.
But I think where everything just changed, like, I can't even begin to imagine if this is like your job or our job or anyone's job. Like sometimes I want people to zoom out. So you have this titan of a housewife, of a worker who's there, who brings a bunch of viewers. People are loyal to her. However, she then marries this guy and there's like literally this, like, he's investigating other coworkers. Like, I just feel like, can't you just zoom out and look at it at a workplace environment that's like, the issue has to stem from there because like, they can't fire and they couldn't fire anyone going into this season because like, what would that look like? You know what I mean? It's just a shame. I feel like and he's smartly really not involved that much this season. And I think that is by design. Like, I think it was very much like,
I think they wouldn't like let him. He seems like a liability. I mean, I don't know the full background of the story, but if everything that everyone's alleging is true, it seems like a liability issue to me. I would not really bring him around people that, you know, it seems like, I mean, he's not even in any group scenes he's not been at one party. Nope. He only films at home. So I wonder.
Yeah. And he was at that Fuda Rachel Teresa thing, but he said
that seemed like the most set up thing ever, by the way. They're in a private room, an empty restaurant during the daytime. I mean, it was pretty clear that they were probably like, this
is gonna be
the one time that we can probably ever. It's weird. Yeah. I don't fucking like it, and it's ruining the fucking show for me. Like, it felt like a Mob Wives scene, which, by the way, that's no shade. You know I love fucking Mob Wives, but that's not Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's just like, it's what are we doing? We're circling the drain. There also seems like that text screenshot thing with Margaret that's like key housewife. That is like peak housewives. Yeah. Only Margaret could do that. Margaret is quick on her toes. She's a smart thinker. She elevates Jersey because before she was ever on that show, we didn't have smart, quick women like this on the show who could think that fast and do things like that. And the thing is everyone was online being like, Margaret's so two-faced. It's like, if Teresa was quick enough to do that, y'all would be like, but that'll never happen.
They live for Teresa's reads that half of them don't even make much sense. So I can't and Margaret, I've said this all the time, like, she did to Jersey what, like, Dorinda did to Roni. Like, it felt like she could have been there from the beginning. She just, like, brought new life to Jersey. And, again, you can say what you want about her. And I know you said that, too. Like, she is also as advertised. Like, I promise, in person, Melissa and Margaret and these people aren't demons. And I could say the same for Teresa. I haven't been as close in conversation with her, but I've met her multiple times. Nice person. Like, I feel like us talking about these people, like they are literal evil masterminds. It's just so weird to me.
Yeah. Two other things. Well, actually one other thing. And then I want to go over to the bonus episode because I want to talk a bit about Jackie and the way that she's kind of maneuvering this season. Many thoughts because it's all kind of coming out now. I just feel like there was such a missed opportunity with production. That blue label bottle of scotch, that could have been like the Easter Bunny Easter Bunny?
With Rena and Kim Richards.
Or it could have been, what's another object? It could have been the Casse Azul.
With Giselle and Heather,
Or like, I felt like it was kind of a missed opportunity that could have been like followed around the party and maybe could have like made it more humorous and as opposed to, you know, this show can get mired in the drama of it all. But Listen, I want to go over to the bonus episode. I want to talk about what I'm thinking about Danielle, because I've kind of rethought about the way that I did not like her last season. I'm struggling a little bit, but I have some thoughts. I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk about Jackie. We are going to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta, because Kenya is in a ball of mess, a world of mess of her own making, allegedly. And now it's everyone's problem. And I want to lists. Tell the people where to follow you on social media if you want them to. Yeah, and what else you have going on.
Yes. So you can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever it is now, at Hey, it's Jared. And it's Hey with two Y's, for however long we can actually be. I feel like like pretty soon people won't even be able to post. Like everything just keeps getting taken away.
No, yeah.
and you can follow me on Instagram at the Jared Alex. Yeah, and that's where I post a lot of my writing. I'm freelancing a lot now, so you'll see a lot of interviews and Housewives coverage and stuff there soon.
Cool. Guys, go to patreon.com/thebelist to subscribe to the bonus episode. You can get this episode and many ones from the past. We even have Hannah Berner on an episode before she had her Netflix special. She's blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. Shout out to Hannah Berner. Love you. Yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah.
Both of them, that Giggly squad.
Bye, guys. See you on the B side. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.